every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Gesang Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwu and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fredela. Thank you for listening.
Lama ku penuh arti karena aku dicintai. Ku ingat kemarin suasana tak bersemangat, namun kini ku jalani dan semua rasanya tepat. Bersama kita coba wujudkan harapan, membuka jalan dalam gapai dan tujuan.
Matahari bersinar selalu, ini yang ku minta, penuh semangat tertawa bersamamu teman semua. Karena ini saatnya kita mentari akan datang, bawa sejuta harapan. Kita jumpa di sana, berbagi bersama, dan kita tahu pelangi yang satukan.
Kita buka hari yang baru, bahkan
I'm not afraid. RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music playlist, podcast, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Salami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or pot to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagepe. To make kasalami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasalami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasalamis. Kasalami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasalami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasalami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasalami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Indonesia.
Listener, as Gempol Plaret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights, because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Plaret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. As Gempol Plaret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Plaret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. It's also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol plaret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapi. For one bowl of es gempol plaret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Kata-kata dari mulutmu memang berbahaya. Kau permainkan hatiku dengan berbagai cara. Mata bibirmu sentuhku, tapi ku tak bersuara. Lihat arogansimu, ku malah lemah tak berdaya.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
If you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the ember that produces smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cleaning process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Rasanya baru kenalin, kita berdua duduk di taman, bermain ular tangga, menari-nari bebas. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin, rasaku lihat awan menari, ternyata seperti permen kapas. Biar angin bertiup, kita rentangkan harap, rasanya masih baru kemarin. Rasanya sudah tak sabar lagi menanti kamu yang menemani. Biar semua berjalan, hadapilah rintangan. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin.
Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Phuket Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Phuket Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Phuket Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Phuket Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Phuket Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Phuket Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Phuket Island, you have to cross by boat known as Ro-Ro ship or roll-on roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Phuket Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, yellow flags, beheading boat races, and many more.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters or want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat nomor 9 meter, so aku pengen lihat. Langsung selam saya, Pak. Jadi, oke, dia bilang.
Kalau istilah pinisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar 5 tahun.
Appeared around the 19th century and around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cat catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east, so the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Pinisi sail.
ke-19, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Pinisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Pinisi became known in the 1950s.
silat ini si itu secara umum baru muncul dalam apa namanya ya, cetakan, koran dan sebagainya pada tahun
the Javanese generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for both to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Pinisi boat is, because the term Pinisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the reports of harbor masters and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari tongkong, there was palari tongkong. But those Pinisi started being in the 80s, especially after the Pinisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Pinisi. So the term Pinisi, which now we really define in, is actually a creation after the Pinisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Pinisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, pulau-pulau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Pinisi. Jadi, istilah Pinisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Pinisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Alai. People's memory are not very accurate and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900. But no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as Palari. So the use of the word Pinisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motorization and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. And he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also four people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this lady man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. on two masts and seven developed sails called pinisi. The wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination.
Ya, kalau kita berlayar cuma main di layar aja.
If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours. Like here yesterday, sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Banan ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi Selatan. Mulai tahun...
The pinisi ship was built originally from Arab, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana dan di segi pengalaman saja. Diakui dan seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinisinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjualesari.
With the pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has stabilized this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, PT wood and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood. In terms of its strength, in the sea you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of
wood. Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk pasir tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Lagi mas. Papan-papannya disusun, kesatu-satuin, sampai
tadi. The planks are arranged one by one, then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is, then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub, this is lowered, then the mast is made, the mast is then put on the hose rope, the mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali sering. Tali tian. Muka belakang. Baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making finisi sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the ship-building system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli...
that's the formula. So this is how we are ship's expert, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, weight, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about 10 meters or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan Rondeana itu, yaitu
There is one thing that is absent from cult heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Kapapalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So, there is an impression that the Ara people, at some point in 1930s to 1950s, created a new manufacturing formula called Apa Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan Ara pada suatu saat, tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an, menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, it's 100 tons more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if the boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fail. And there is another point there. The boat is not something rectangular, but it's created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve as from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Pinisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari awal tersebut dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini bahwa konsumsi halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas Pinisi doang.
Dia datang. seperti pantai. Pemuda berani bangkit sekarang. Selaut kita beramai-ramai. Hatiku saat aromamu lewati hidungku, melotot mataku melihatmu lewat di depanku.
District Anambas Islands, Riau Islands Province, seems to be hidden because it is flanked by small islands that are quite hilly. The Selat Ransang Beach is on 244 hectares island. The beach is not so wide, but its position is really surrounded by clear water that has gradation colors between green and bluish. Almost every corner of the Selat Ransang Beach can certainly be snorkeling and diving spots, which offer undersea amazing panoramas. Coral reef and marine biota at the beach have various kinds of species, and also the ecosystem is relatively well maintained. At Selat Ransang Beach, you can do diving, snorkeling, and fishing. At the beach, all places can become fishing areas. But if you want more something challenging, you can directly do fishing in the middle of the sea. To go there, you should go by boat and have enough fishing equipment. If you do not have the equipment, don't worry, because you can still enjoy the scenery of the beach or swimming in the shallow water of the beach. Without snorkeling equipment, you can see coral reefs and multicolored fish swimming at the bottom of the sea with naked eyes. It is really an amazing scenery which can fresh your eyes. Listener, if you love marine tourism, please set your time to visit and have a vacation at Selat Ransang Beach. We guarantee that you will be satisfied. And if you visit Anambas Island, you better explore the islands one by one by renting a boat or trekking to some islands.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia with Newsline. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto inaugurated the Industropolis Special Economic Zone in Batang, Central Java, as an effort to build the nation through industrialization and downstreaming. VOI reporter Dora Pardede has the detail.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto inaugurated the Industropolis Special Economic Zone in Batang, Central Java, Thursday. In his remarks, President Prabowo revealed that Batang Industropolis Special Economic Zone is one of the government's main efforts in building the nation through industrialization and downstreaming. President Prabowo is optimistic that the government can create 8 million new jobs in the next 5 years through various downstream and development investments.
Investasi-investasi yang kita akan laksanakan mulai tahun ini.
The investment that we will carry out starting this year is downstreaming, so that the added value of all our raw materials can be enjoyed by all people of Indonesia, as well as the employment that we calculate. Employment in the next 5 years will reach 8 million jobs.
Akan mencapai 8 juta lapangan kerja.
Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto explained that the Batang Industropolis Special Economic Zone, which has an area of 4,300 hectares, was designated as a special economic zone based on Presidential Regulation No. 12 of 2025. This special economic zone is the largest in Indonesia managed by state-owned enterprises, unlike most other special economic zones managed by the private sector. Erlangga also explained that the development of his special economic zone involves collaboration between various ministries and state agencies. Basic infrastructure such as toll roads, water installations, waste installation, and other supporting facilities have been prepared with an investment of 4 trillion rupiah. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Market analysts predict the Indonesia Stock Exchange IDX Composite IHSG will continue to experience high volatility due to global and domestic economic factors. Fluctuations in the index are influenced by external pressures, including U.S. economic data and geopolitical risk, as well as internal factors such as inflation and Bank Indonesia's monetary policy. Investors are advised to remain cautious and adopt a selective investment strategy amid uncertain market conditions. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the lunch session of Indonesia. Today is time for me, Rahma, to take over the mic on Friday, March 21st, 2025. Lots of information, programs, music to present in the program that presents all about Indonesia, as this is Indonesia Today. Even though the Indonesian national football team is not in a really good condition after being defeated by Australia in the 2026 World Cup qualifiers for the Asian zone in Group C, well, let's keep praying for the Indonesian national football team to keep getting through the 2026 World Cup. And coming up next, there will be another match in Group C with Bahrain, will be held here in Jakarta at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium. Really so excited. Hopefully we can perform better. So to give more spirit to the Indonesian national football team, why don't we enjoy a song by Kotak, Tendangan dari Langit, or A Kick from the Sky.